Amen. In awe of God's power. Even the enemy is in awe of God's power, but he tries to convince us that he's not. And that's what all this is about this morning. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Jim began this series on the first Sunday in September. And then last week we had that great message from Pastor Tom Spiridiliosi as he came and shared. And interestingly, my main text this morning follows right from where he left off last week. We'll get to that in a moment. But I want to remind you of a few things before we begin, and I do appreciate your prayers. This has been an incredible week, a week of highs and a week of struggles. We had a good alpha meeting on Wednesday night, and then Thursday, my granddaughter decided I needed to have a birthday celebration, so we did that. And so I'm officially a year older. And the song says, deeper in debt. I don't know about that, but anyway. I do have a little commercial before I begin, and that is on behalf of the women, that on Saturday morning of this week, 10 o'clock, their brunch, don't forget it, you can sign up at the list at the Welcome Center. I think we missed that in the announcement, so if you would be aware of that. And ladies, you are welcome. It's always a great time. I want to begin this morning by just reminding you who's in control. Matthew 28, Jesus spoke to his disciples just before he ascended to be with the Father, and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Not just some authority, not just a little bit of authority, but all authority. So if we really want to know who's in charge, Jesus is the one in charge. And we better not forget it. And there's someone else who better not forget it. We'll come to him in a little later. It's under the authority of Jesus that we can go from this place into our community and into the world to take the gospel. And that's what we're called to do, and we're going to do it. And then in the passage, which is my text this morning, Jesus spoke to his disciples. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it says, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority. I want you to note those two words, power and authority, to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. What's interesting to note here is that Jesus has all authority, but he's given some of that authority, some particular parts of that authority, to us, his people. First of all, through the disciples. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And so when we come to the book of Acts, in a familiar passage in the first chapter, verse 8, where it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That word witnesses to us perhaps talks about someone who goes door to door or person to person and shares the gospel, and that's part of it. But that's not all of it. It really carries this whole idea, what Jesus is really saying here, that authority I gave you back in Luke chapter 9, I am now giving to all his people, all my people. We all have that power and authority. So what I want you to see this morning, and it's very important that we see this, is that God has made available to every believer, every Christian, every Christ follower, power. Power being a God-given ability, a supernatural energy to do his work, and specifically do the work of casting out demons and healing the sick, and to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But he also gives us authority. And authority is a God-given responsibility to do God's work. It's based on our giftings. We all have different giftings. We all have different abilities. We all have different callings. And we use those giftings and abilities and callings to serve God. How you serve will probably be different from how I serve. But the result of it is that we all together are doing the work of God. And he's given us that authority. It comes from him to us. I want to illustrate what I'm saying here by looking at four short passages of Scripture, four incidents in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, that will help us maybe to understand a little bit more what I'm talking about this morning. Because I think it is important. We need to realize, friends, and I think we've sensed it this morning, we are in a spiritual struggle, a battle. The enemy is still active, and he will always get us by deceiving us, by accusing us, by tempting us. Those are his tools. He only has three, but he uses them all the time because we've all been tempted. We've all felt the accusation. We've all been deceived. But there comes a time when we say, enough. Enough. And I think we've reached it today. Do you agree? Enough. Justin said we're winners. We are. Not because of who we are, but because we are in Christ. In Mark chapter 9, what happens is that, and you'll remember this story, Jesus has taken three of his disciples, Peter, John, and James, Peter, John, up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and there he's transfigured, and that's not really part of what I want to talk about today. But he's left nine disciples back at the camp. And while they're there, a distraught father comes with his son. The son has got a demon. And he asks the nine disciples to get rid of the demon. And apparently they couldn't do it. So when Jesus and the other three come down from the mountain, they come to Jesus, and this father says, I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't do anything. And he says, Jesus said something interesting to the father. He says, do you believe? And the father says, I do believe. Help my unbelief. In other words, he wasn't sure where he came from, I guess. So Jesus cast out the demon. And then he says, in verses 28 and 29 of Mark chapter 9, after the disciples had gone in, after they had gone indoors, and his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast it out? And he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Strange statement. What is he saying here? Well, we have to think about what prayer is. When we pray, what we are really doing is acknowledging that we don't have the answers, we don't have the ability. We acknowledge that we are dependent upon God. That's what prayer is. It's our expression of our dependence upon God for the answer. And so what apparently happened is the nine disciples attempted to cast out this demon in their own strength, based on what Jesus had said to them before, that I'm going to give you power and authority. I guess they thought they had it. That was good enough. And so they tried, but failed. They didn't depend upon God. They depended on their own strength. And we have a tendency to do that, friends, don't we? We tend to rely on our own strength, thinking, I'll come to God when things don't work out. Too often we wait too long. So we need, first of all, to come to God in humility, always in humility, and in dependence, trusting him to work in us, through us, and in the situations that we're concerned about. That's the first lesson we need to learn from the life of Jesus that we're looking at this morning. Then in Acts chapter 4, we're going to come to a passage, but it actually begins in chapter 3. We know the story very well. We have probably sung about it in an old Sunday school song way back when, about Peter and John going to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they encountered a man who was lame, had been crippled from birth. And the crippled man looked at him. He wanted some money, because that's what crippled people did. They were begged for money. Peter looked at him and said, "I don't have any money. But I'll tell you what. What I will do is give you what I have. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, give you. In the name of Jesus, get up." This morning, I want to say to you, in the name of Jesus, rise and be healed. In the name of Jesus, rise and be set free. In the name of Jesus, rise and shake off that depression. Rise and take this day and shake off all that the devil is throwing at you, because he has no authority and he has no power over you. Peter, in talking about that, said to the disciples, said to the leaders who called them to account for this, he said, "If we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." And that same Jesus Christ this morning is here. We don't see him, but he's here. And he wants to touch our lives as well. The lesson from this is that we've got to recognize, and this is something, I don't like the way I put it on this slide. I'm going to try to explain this a little better to you. When we receive Jesus as our Savior and as our Lord, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. And there is another event, we believe, beyond that, in which we can be filled further with the Holy Spirit as we surrender further to him. It's a progressing, it's something that can happen over and over and over again. But when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, comes to reside within us at salvation, he's there. And he's waiting to be invited to bring his power to bear on our lives. He does not do that automatically. That's something we forget. I think of my instructor at Bible college who would put it this way. He said, "The Holy Spirit is a gentleman." That was the day before we got all worried about men and women, you know, whether God is one or the other. The Holy Spirit is gentle. He waits to be invited to release his power into our lives. And so that's what we do when we come in prayer. We ask him to release his power, to release what he wants to do, and that's when he begins to work in us. There are times when it seems that it happens automatically, and perhaps that's why we tend to take it for granted. But I want to suggest that the power isn't in us until we invite the Holy Spirit to release it. And so we need to do that. Maybe you need to do that this morning in some area of your life. Another story that may be somewhat amusing, strange, we find in the book of Acts as well, in the 8th chapter, where a man by the name of Simon the sorcerer comes into play. He's a man who does magic arts and has got all the people wowed by his magic. But he becomes a believer. And in the course of time, Peter and John come and join Philip, who was the evangelist who led Simon to the Lord. And when they come, they preach a message, and they invite people to come. And these people are filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say that they spoke in tongues, but there was some evidence by which that was seen, and I happen to believe that they spoke in tongues. And he was intrigued by whatever he saw, and he wanted that power. He wanted that ability to pray for people so that they could get this as well. And he offered Peter some money to do that. And Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Friends, any gifts we have from God are to be used with honor, with respect, and with humility and submission. We must never take them lightly, carelessly, or selfishly. The gifts God has given you are to bring glory to God, not to you. Use them carefully, wisely, but use them. One more story, and then we'll close. In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul is in the city of Ephesus, a big city, a prominent city in those days, a city of idols, a very religious city. There are some. All kinds of gods, all kinds of temples. Do you know that kind of place? You don't have to go far. The gods and the temples may be different, but they're there. And apparently there were some Jewish rabbis who observed what Paul was doing. He was praying for people, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit, and they were being healed. And they were intrigued by this. And they noticed that Paul prayed in the name and by the power of Jesus. And so they thought, we don't know this Jesus, but apparently that name is magic, so we can use it. And so they began to try to do that. And it says tells us in that passage that seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And one day, the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Sounds kind of humorous in a way. But we need to be reminded that God has made available us to the ability, the gift of bringing healing to people's lives and deliverance from demonic and evil spirits. But those gifts are only available to those who place their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a believer, you have that right to call on the name of Jesus anytime you're facing opposition from the enemy, whether it's sickness or whether it's evil thoughts or incorrect behavior. You can do that. But if you're not a believer, I want to invite you today to become one. I know we do this often, but it's important that we do. because there are new people amongst us every day. And I don't know, maybe there's somebody who's even been here for quite some time and you think, well, I'm in church, I must be a Christian. That's not the case. What I invite you to do this morning is to acknowledge that you have never invited the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and Lord, to admit that you are a sinner, and then to believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, taking his sin with you on that cross and setting you free. And then confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And from then on, make that decision to follow him from this day forward. If you do take those steps this morning, even in the closing moments of this service, you have the power and authority that God has made available to his church in the name and through the authority of Jesus Christ. And church, this is no time for us to sit back and think we're coasting our way to heaven. There's lots to be done before the enemy comes. Or with the enemy here, before Jesus comes. And so let's determine this morning that if you this morning would just bow your head with me, all of us bow our heads together. And let's ask God to continue to speak and minister to us as we go from this place today. Father, I thank you for these friends who are my church. The people I love, the people that I endeavor to serve alongside Pastor Jim and the other members of our pastoral team. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to remember always whose we are and what we have in Jesus Christ, the power and the authority over demonic spirits, over illness and sickness, over all that is evil. Help us to be vigilant in praying for one another that we not fall into temptation and slip away. Help us to pray for our neighbors that they would find their way into the family of God. Help us to take the message you've given us, not only to this community, but to the ends of the world. Lord, you've given us the power. You've given us the authority. Help us to use it wisely for your glory. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.